Welcome to the Wander Mode podcast, where we celebrate the fearless spirit of women embracing life's wanderings. Where every story is a spark of inspiration and reminds us that sometimes the most beautiful moments happen when we simply embrace wherever the journey may lead. Jess Cahill is the founder and owner of Savage Adventures, an adventure guide business that encourages women to travel the world, experiencing new cultures and sights while stretching them outside of their comfort zones. Jess founded this business to share her passion of travel with others and provide an avenue for women looking to travel, but within the comfort of a guided group. As a female that has traveled with other female companions, I am so looking forward to our conversation and know that we are only going to cover a fraction of what I want to talk about today. Welcome to the podcast, Jess.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so stoked to be here. Anytime I get to talk about adventure is like a good time for me. So I'm really stoked to see what we get into today.
Yeah, me too. I could talk about travel literally all day, every day. So share a little bit about your background and what led you to start an adventure business like Savage Adventures.
So this is, it's been a journey, a long time coming. I've been someone who loves to travel and loves to adventure since I was young. I remember going to the Bahamas when I was like 5 years old. My mom stuck me in a student ambassador group when I was 13. I went to Europe for 3 weeks with a bunch of people I didn't know. At 13 years old, yeah, student ambassador program. And she was like, boop. And I was like, you hate me. Why would you do this? And then when she comes to pick me up, I'm like, you hate me. Why are you taking me back? And then I started teaching. I became a teacher for 13 years and I taught Spanish. I've always had a love of other cultures, of other languages, of other communities, of other people, and recognizing how giant and great and vast and wide the world is. And I always said, if I could get paid to travel, that would be my dream job. Or even if I could just travel, I don't even care about the paid part. And then I left teaching. I started a health and fitness coaching company called Savage Health. And I realized I didn't like that either. So I started helping women in business, and I want to help more women and reach them in a different way. I want to inspire women to that thing that you've been thinking in the back of your brain. I wish I could someday. I want to give that opportunity for women, like, hey, someday's now, because we don't know. Tomorrow's not promised. So let's get out, start checking off some of those things. Let's get our hands dirty in life and adventure and connect with other people. So it's been an evolution. A long time coming. And I go on my first adventure trip in Costa Rica in April.
Wow. That is an incredible journey. And I know from having recently started entrepreneurship myself after leaving education, it is this ever evolving process. Like you said, you started with Savage Health and now you're focusing on Savage Adventures. Can you tell me a little bit, just because I'm curious from an education perspective, how hard was that for you to leave education? And were you more excited by what was to come with this dream life? Or were there aspects of leaving behind your old self, your old identity that were also a challenge?
Oh my goodness. So I would say that leaving teaching was like my unbecoming phase, where I feel like during my late teens, my early 20s, there's all these societal expectations. You're supposed to go to college. You're supposed to have a career. You're supposed to get married. You're supposed to have a house. And I bought into a lot of those things for a really long time. And it started feeling suffocating because it didn't feel true to who I am and the type of life that I wanted to be leading. And so when 2020 hit and teaching changed in an instant, it was this sudden like shake to what I thought was part of my identity. And then I started exploring that, like, wait, I'm a human. I'm not just a teacher or a wife or a worker, or I'm a human with dreams and aspirations and flaws and personality traits and all of these things. And so it started to unravel. And of course, there's so many hard parts about leaving teaching. There's security. I was tenured. I also loved working with kids. I'm really passionate about Spanish and language and culture. And then there was the other part of me that was like, if I don't go, I will suffocate. I cannot continue doing this. And that was also terrifying because my nutrition and fitness coaching company wasn't doing well. But I was like, if it's up to me, I'll figure it out. Everything is figure outable. So that first summer was awful. Lots of tears, lots of adult temper tantrums. And then I just kept telling myself, like, I will figure this out. And then the willingness to be open and to shed all of these layers of identity and just figure it out. I don't have to be a nutrition and fitness coach if that doesn't serve me either. I don't have to do all of these things, kind of like let go. And all of a sudden, the puzzle pieces started coming together.
So this last summer for me and then this fall has been my season of temper tantrums and emotional meltdowns and everything as well. Experiencing that loss of identity, even though, like you said, we're not just any one thing, just a wife or just a mom or just a teacher. But at the same time, mentally, so much of our self-worth can sometimes be caught up in this idea of who we are. Oh, I'm a teacher, and you say it with pride, or I'm tenured, or it's that paycheck that makes you feel like you're contributing to your family budget or whatever. And so I am very much in that season right now of like just the wave of emotions of entrepreneurship. And so I definitely want to dig into that more. Tell me a little bit about the early days of saying, okay, I need to transition from Savage Health to Savage Adventures. How do you start to gain traction with social media? How are you figuring out marketing? Did you have prior experience with all those things? Was it just this organic, like grassroots movement of figuring these things out as you went along?
It's an amalgamation of so many different things. So when I left teaching, like I said, I didn't really have a plan. I was like, oh, I'll just get more clients. Turns out I don't like it. And if I don't like to do something, trying to sell it to other people is just, it's impossible for me. I have to be authentic. So I started waiting tables. And to go from being a teacher to like, hi, I'm a waitress. It was humbling. You know, people treat you differently. They just do. Although teachers don't always get treated the best either. So
No, they don't. That is for sure.
Kind of a mixed bag. And I would say too, like my husband had tried to get me to be an entrepreneur well before I ever knew that I would be. He has seen it for a long time. And he also is an entrepreneur. So I have him as a mentor. I never would have built a business if it weren't for him. And it was interesting because he actually pivoted the year before. So we both have been in this season of sink or swim, figure it out, we'll get it done. And then I work with a lot of really awesome women who have businesses, who build businesses, who mention my name in a room full of opportunities. I mean, even you and I connecting through this podcast is through another woman who was like, hey, I think y'all would get along. So really recognizing the importance of community, of connection, and just being open, you know, being scared and doing it anyway. I can't tell you how important that is. And then I also have another facet of my business. And you'll notice the theme is Savage, but I also have a business called Savage Help, where I help other women inside of their businesses. So I do online business management. I've done virtual assistant work, and that really encompassed a lot of my skills as a teacher, helped me with connecting with other humans, learning about how other people do business. And that was like the bread and butter for me. And then the adventure stuff is the icing on the cake. And so, like I said, really being open, looking for that community, and recognizing like it doesn't always have to be what I thought was the right way or my way, but being open to maybe I try it a different way, or maybe there's another plan out there that I can't see right now. But every door that shut that I thought was a door I wanted to be open has led me to where I am now. So kind of trusting that process too.
My husband and I have a favorite quote by Mark Twain, which is basically like you throw off the bow lines and you just embrace whatever adventure is out there, right? You leave behind the fear, and it doesn't mean that fear is non-existent, but it's what you choose to do with that fear. Like it's either going to hold you back or you're going to embrace it and carry it with you as you try the new thing. And like you said, kind of a sink or swim type of thing. So you have your first trip coming up to Costa Rica. Rica, it sounds like. Tell me a little bit about how these trips come to be. So how out of the crazy amounts of locations that you could pick, do you end up with one? And then how are you navigating all the decisions that go with travel, airlines and lodging and activities? And how many people do you take with you? All of the logistics behind these exciting adventures.
So one of the things that I realized in being a teacher is that it forced me to be this very rigid, very controlled, very uptight human. And I didn't want that anymore. So I actually work with a company called Trovatrip, and they handle all of the logistics of all of the travel stuff. And a lot of that is, again, like I said, because I knew I didn't want to have to micromanage all of the logistics, all of the safety, all of the planning, all of the coordinating. But also because I recognize that travel and adventure feels scary for a lot of women, and I want them to feel as safe as possible. And Trovatrip allows me to take away some of that liability, but they also coordinate with local guides. And I had gone on a trip with them as a traveler first. So last April, I went to, this was a bucket list trip for my mom and I. My mom at 56 years old, we hiked the Inca Trail. You camp for 4 nights, you walk along the Inca Trail, and you arrive at Machu Picchu.
Oh, my word.
And we, I could cry talking about it. We could talk about it for an entire podcast. I don't have enough words. And that had solidified, like, I want to partner with this company. Their customer service is amazing. The guide that they have, I still talk to her. She's incredible. And one of the first women guides in Peru, like, how cool, an all women group. And you're with one of the first women who has gone full, that's her career as a guide in a country where women didn't do that. And so I was like, I want in. Mm-hmm. And that takes away a lot, like I said, a lot of the stress, a lot of the logistics, but it also gives people the confidence. I feel like sometimes, you know, there are tour groups that are sketchy. And I think working with a group that is well-known, they have like street cred. I think that that helps women. And even in terms of, it can be a big investment. I don't want to just like give my money willy-nilly to somebody without some sort of guarantee. And then I pull my audience. So I talk to people, I figure out where they want to go. In order to get started with Trova, I needed 50 qualified responses, and people tell you where they want to go. So Costa Rica is one of the biggest ones. We go to Alaska in August, and then we go to the Galapagos in February of next year, 2025. And so, yeah, I vote. And I tell people in my emails, like, if there's somewhere you're dying to go, let me know. That could be like the next place that we go. And then I have someone I work with at Trova specifically for all of my trips. And then for each individual trip, I have like a trip coordinator specific to that area. And then I talk to my people too. There's like some activities that are voluntary. You can add them on. There's some that's not. So some people want to go camping. Some people don't. So I try to have a combination of all different kinds of trips to include everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have so many things to stem off of all of that. First, super cool that you traveled and did that trip with your mom. My mom and I, a few years ago, started taking trips together as well. And we've done like the English coast. We went to Ireland and did a whole walking trail there with my daughter when she was 9 months. So it was like 3 generations doing this walking trip for 2 weeks. And when you just said like you could fill an entire podcast with words to describe those experiences, like it is incredible to go do something like that with someone that is near and dear to your heart and then experience this new destination together and deal with some of those struggles, but also have like all of the highs that come with that too. Like what were some of your big takeaways from having traveled with your mom?
I remember going to the Bahamas when I was 5, and then she sent me on like that solo trip, but we've gone to Germany together. And then we would always do like family road trips. We've been to Tennessee. We've been to Oregon. We've been to Mexico, California, all over the place. Travel has always been something that is important. And then as I got older, my mom and I started doing just her and I. I have another sister. Well, my mom has another daughter. I have a big yours, mine blended family. And so my mom and I were like, hey, we want to kind of do some trips by ourselves. So we've gone to Spain, we did Morocco, we did Peru, and now she's coming to the Galapagos in February of next year on the trip with me. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And listen, sometimes I said this to her, like, I want to boot you off the side of the mountain while we were. Yes. and it was a group, but you know, when you're with family, it's not the same experience because my mom and I are close. But then on the flip side, I was like, there's no one else in my life that will ever understand that experience except for her. And I will never regret even those moments where I'm like, oh my God, I want to shove you off of the side of the mountain and just be like, I don't know what happened. She fell. I love my mother very much, but I'll never regret traveling with her. I'll never regret those experiences. And so, you know, it brings you closer together. Sometimes I'm like, afterwards, I need a break. I'll talk to you in like a week, but please, I need a little of my own time. And I thought it was really cool too, because the group in Machu Picchu, it was anywhere from like early 30s to my mom, who was in her late 50s. And just connecting, not even just family, but women in that capacity of like, we're doing this together. Like you mentioned, different generations, not related, but just different goals, different seasons of life, different experiences, and you all come together. And I still talk to some of the other women on the trip. It's a bonding experience, whether it's with your family or not, in a way that only the people who you experienced it with will ever understand. And I come back from a trip and sometimes I'm like, was that a dream? And when you have other people that like anchor you in the memory, you're like, no, that really happened. I really lived that. I really did it. And so now I get to offer that to other people, which is incredible.
Totally incredible. Now with Trova, you obviously experienced them with your trip to Machu Picchu, but had you considered other companies, but you narrowed down just based on your good experience with them? And like, if someone were out there considering an adventure company, what are some of the things that you want to look for?
A lot of it for me is research. Yes, there were other companies that have reached out to me and I would look at their reviews. I would look at comments. I would look at other people that have gone on the trips like, oh, this person hosts. I want to see, is that kind of person that I vibe with? Or do I feel a little icked by that person? It was an easy decision for me to work with Trova because A, they're a big company. B, I had been on the trip. C, the person who hosted that trip, like I had spoken to her, she knew other people that worked with them. So now I've created this community of other people that I know that host with Trova as well. And that goes a long way for me. I think they say in sales and marketing, there's three factors: know, like, and trust. So I knew the company, I liked the company, I trusted them, and I trusted them quicker because other people recommended them. So that's something else I would say too, when looking for a company to book with, do your research, but also ask other people. If you're not sure, ask, have you traveled with them? Or look for someone else that has, that left a review, find that person, connect with them. Because for me, someone's real life experience goes so much farther than a testimonial on a website that anyone could type out. And ask other people too. Like, hey, does this look legit? When my mom and I went to Morocco, we wanted to be safe. We wanted to make sure we were seeing the things we wanted to see. And I often go to Spanish-speaking countries and I can communicate. I couldn't even tell you a letter in the Arabic alphabet. So I think, you know, having other people that you can talk to about it and finding your tribe, as I like to call it, and then that just gives you more to build off of because you get other people's inputs and opinions. I guess that's, I feel like the long and the short of it, I feel like there's a lot more bullet pointed answers that you could give to someone like, look for this, look for that. But for me, I don't know. I kind of almost go with my gut a lot of times. And like I said, building a community that I trust. So when someone recommends something, like I know that person is trustworthy. So that gives a little more value.
Mm-hmm. I really like that you're developing a community of women around, let's go travel somewhere within this trusted community. And like you said, knowing and trusting and liking somebody through social media or marketing is so important. And I think back to a trip that I took with a girlfriend in my early 20s. We went to Italy and it was just the two of us. And I had traveled a lot by that point. So I knew what I was doing, but also how many experiences go wrong or are a little different than what you would expect. And you have to navigate that. And really, like you said, yes, you could have bulleted points of these are the ways to be safe or these are the ways to make sure you're not getting scammed. But it really does come down so much of travel and shifting aspects within travel come down to trusting your gut.
That's such a huge one is the trust your gut. So when my mom and I went to Spain, I was there for 3 weeks on a graduate course and she met me and she gets off the bus And she gives me a hug. I'm so excited to see you. My passport and all of my credit cards and identification have been stolen. No. Like, Mom, you've not been in the country for like 5 minutes. How did this happen? And she had used one of those, you know, the things you're supposed to put underneath your clothes with all your safety things. Well, she left it in her purse with the string hanging out. So all someone had to do was think, pull it. And we could have panicked, but we just had to figure it out. So we went to the hotel and we started talking to people. What do? We went to the police. We reported it. Then we had to go to a consulate. Well, we went to one consulate and that wasn't a big enough one. So then we had to get to the other one and can we fly because we don't have a passport for my mother? And just, again, trusting your gut, but also thinking clearly and logically. Panicking, getting overwhelmed, getting worked up isn't going to serve you in those moments. So how can you take a deep breath, calm yourself down, and figure out what are the next things to do? And the more you practice, the easier it gets, of course. But when you learn to trust your gut in certain scenarios and certain things, it makes it a lot easier. Like, okay, I'm doing everything that I can right now. It's all going to work out. It's not like she's never going to be allowed back to the United States. And if she got stuck somewhere, I mean, Spain doesn't suck.
That's true. You'll just come visit your mom in Spain.
Yeah. Well, no, I live here now too. I'm not going back if she's not. I'll stay. I mean, it's really sad and unfortunate, but I guess we live
here. Yeah. Such a bummer. Shoot.
Yeah.
So you've traveled a lot. So you've had a lot of these experiences. You know that there's always a solution. How are you feeling about the idea of guiding a lot of women who may be nervous travelers, who may have these things happen that were completely unexpected and might panic, and they're looking to you for guidance? How are you feeling about that kind of pressure in terms of like guiding these women and having to be kind of the pillar of strength?
So the two words that come to mind as you're asking this are honored and grateful. I don't feel like it's a pressure. I feel so honored and so grateful that I have moms coming on trips that they've not been away from their kids for maybe ever or years. A woman who's never left the country, who's coming to Costa Rica, someone who's never been camping, and we're doing camping in Alaska. So I just feel so honored and so grateful. And I am definitely a person in a crisis scenario where I was made for this, right? Like, I have that ability to take a deep breath, zoom out. What's the first thing that we need to do? Everything else doesn't matter. And we're just going to go boom, 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 one step at a time and trust that it is figure outable. The other thing that I think makes it really easy is that there are certified expert guides on every single trip that are experts to that area, to that trip, to that adventure. It's not like we're getting someone who covers the Northeast. We're getting someone who very potentially has been born and raised in Costa Rica, or that has lived in Alaska for a very long time, or has done 20 plus trips. So I think that that also is peace of mind for me, but also for the other women. And I also know the women in my community. So I also know I'm not the only support system. The women on the trip are going to connect. They're going to bond. They're going to vibe. So that gives you support, because I'm not a mom. So I can't relate to being away from my kids for the first time. But there are other moms that have been there that will be able to support you in that way. And I can listen and I can hold space for you. And I can remind you, you're setting a really amazing example for your kids. Like, mommy wanted to do this and she was scared. And I know this is going to be hard for you. I know this is going to be hard for me, but we're going to be better because of it. And then I'm going to be able to give you better experiences, A, because I've done it, but B, because I filled my own cup first. I think a lot of times moms forget you're not just a mom, just like you're not just a teacher, you're a human. And I think it's important to show our kids that, you know, I'm honored and grateful that these women trust me enough to go to really cool places and have, I mean, we're going to hike a volcano in Costa Rica. We're going to camp in like the wilds of Alaska and then see animals in the Galapagos that you can't see anywhere else in the world. And sometimes I'm like, pinch me, is this real life?
And really, your teaching experience, it's a little bit like having a long-term field trip.
Yes.
You are. You're the teacher and you have students, pupils, individuals that are within your care.
Yes. And it's interesting because I never wanted to be a teacher. It kind of happened. I don't know how that happens, right? But I applied for a job. I didn't finish the application. And they were like, we want you to come in for an interview. I had no teaching experience. I didn't go to school to be a teacher. I just went to school for Spanish. They end up hiring me. I have to go alternate route. So I'm learning to be a teacher as I'm teaching, building the ship as we're sailing it. But there are so many skills that I learned through teaching that have made everything else better or have given me the skills. And I've been a camp counselor before. So I know lots about bringing groups together and working together as a team and fostering community and just giving people that space to take up space in a safe environment around other like-minded people. It's why actually I offer trips to only women, because I know travel and adventure can feel foreign to people. And then you add in like, now I'm going to go camp in the wilds of Alaska with men. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to add another barrier of entry to something that might be outside of someone's comfort zone. So that's why I've kept it to all women, at least for now. I have no idea what the future holds, but I really want a safe space for women to say like, hey, I've always imagined doing this, or I really wanted to do this. I haven't wanted to plan it. I don't know how to plan it. I don't know where to start. I've never camped before. I don't have other friends to do it with, and for them to just feel safe to come do that with me.
I really think it's beautiful that you're building a community of women who are wanting to travel together. And like you said, they can then have experiences in which they can support one another, whether that's I'm traveling outside the country for the first time, or I'm leaving my kids for the first time. As a traveling mom myself, I've actually left my daughter to go on trips with my husband several times. So I'll be curious to hear how that translates for some of these women who are going on these trips.
And I think it's hard too, because oftentimes people are scared to leave their kids, or they're scared like, I can't prioritize me. And there's this mentality of motherhood means giving up your identity or giving up yourself, or what are we showing the next generation, that you give yourself up to have a family or to be married? Or I just, that's not an example that I would want to lead. But, you know, it's interesting too. I mean, people could be made to feel guilty about leaving their spouse, or people say to me all the time, like, well, what does your husband do while you travel? Like, what do you mean? What does my husband do? He lives his life. He plays music and he works and he takes care of the cats and he sees his family and his friends. And well, don't you miss each other? Well, no, not really. That's not true, of course. But that's what makes our marriage stronger, is that we can be our own humans. And then we come together as two full humans and we enhance each other's life. One and one is way better than half and half, in my opinion. So yeah, it's so interesting how other people react. And I've definitely experienced that with leaving teaching, where people are like, oh, like, didn't you feel bad leaving the kids? No, I don't. I feel bad showing up to a job every day, doing something I don't want to be doing, when these kids deserve somebody to be there who's fully in it and wants to be in there. I feel guilty showing up to a job that's making me miserable every day for my mental health. But I certainly don't feel bad for making a decision that aligns better with my life. I think what's really cool about my space and my community is I've never felt that way. Some of it is I have a very strong personality. So I don't really take other people's opinions to heart unless they're in my inner circle. But also, I've not really gotten a lot of shade or judgment, or because I think that I approach other people as like human first. So when you foster those sorts of things, those are the relationships that you start to build. And that's the kind of community that I want people to be part of when they come on trips.
Where you can just be 100% authentic.
Yeah. Where you can like be weird and quirky, or you could be sad about missing your family, or you could be sad that you've waited this long to go on an adventure, or hey, you know what? I don't really like camping as much as I thought that I might. And it's like, okay, well, we just have a few more days to get through this, and you can do anything for 5 days. So maybe you're not going to love every second of every moment, but that's okay. We can do hard things for a short period of time. Keep telling yourself it's easy, because when you tell yourself something is hard, it feels harder. Tell yourself it's easy and we'll get through it. So yeah, I want people to just feel safe enough to show up and just be themselves. And I think authenticity is huge for me. And I think people in my space, in my community, know that about me. And so it encourages other people to be that way. You know, I always say, like, I'm brave because by being brave, it encourages other people, like, hey, if she could do it, maybe I could be brave too.
Yes, 100%. And I think in some ways, it's the interesting thing about entrepreneurship too, is the individuals that I am very much drawn to right now are other female entrepreneurs, because it's very much this mindset of, well, she can conquer that fear. If she can get over those obstacles, if she can do this on top of being a wife, being a friend, being a mom, whatever it is that the other aspects of her life contain, if she can do that, then I can certainly figure out a way to do it too. And it's incredibly empowering when you can have women pushing each other to be better and not tearing each other down.
Yes. And I say to people all the time, like, I'll hop on a call with anybody and chat with you about anything, because I want other people to see that it's possible. And some people, listen, some people, their dream life is to build a business. And even if I'm of an abundance mindset. So even if all of a sudden you're like, hey, I'm hosting Trova Trip, I still want to support you. You're going to host different trips than I am. You're going to host different experiences, and there's going to be different people that need you and your vibe and your energy, but we win bigger together. And there's enough seats at the table for everybody to sit. And I want people to ask questions and to feel open and, hey, I want to start a business. Hey, I've been thinking about changing my job, or I want to be a mom and I've never done this before. And I want people to feel like comfortable to have those conversations, and also to recognize there isn't one way to do it. So what worked for me might not work for somebody else, but that doesn't make my way right or your way wrong or vice versa. And I think it's cool because you all learn together too.
You can learn from one another's mistakes, or, oh, I tried this on social media and, you know, this really allowed me to find my niche here. Or, you know, I went on to Pinterest versus Instagram versus Facebook, you know, to find my following, to find my group. Totally. There's so much to be learned if we have our eyes and ears open to learning, rather than to just say, oh, well, they already are in that space first, so now I don't have a shot at this, or I can't do this because there's 10 other people in this space already.
Yeah. And I really try to harp on, people need you. I'm never going to do something the same way that you are, because I'm me, and people need me, and they need me to do things the way that I do them, and they need you to do things the way that you do them. I also am such a big believer. And like I said, I have so many people in my life who would mention my name in a room full of opportunities. So I'm a big believer in doing the same. And I don't know, I think it's just so cool to watch other, I say women, because again, that's more my community, but to watch other women like start to believe in themselves and like, hey, what if, what if I tried this and it worked out, instead of like, what if I tried it and it failed? It might, but then you keep pivoting. I mean, my first business was flop. I hated it. Quit my job to start a business I hated. Oh. And I was like, what is everyone going to think when I stop nutrition coaching? Do you know how many people ask me about it? Almost none. Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm. And if that isn't motivation to try something and be okay with the fact that it fails, to then eventually get yourself to the thing that's going to be right, like, I don't know what other kind of motivation you need. You know, there's loads of ideas that fail that we think are going to be great. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't resonate, or perhaps coming back to your point, is it's just not right for you. You know, it might be right for loads of other people, but for whatever reason, you in that particular space doesn't work.
Yes. All of us can get caught up in, what is someone else going to think? What are other people thinking? We're all the stars of our own movie. So you feel like you're the main character in everybody else's movie, when the fact of the matter is, you're either a supporting role or you're an extra. And people are so concerned with, how am I going to look? What are other people thinking? Are people judging me? Am I doing this right? That they're so caught up in thinking about themselves, they're really not thinking about you. And maybe, yeah, of course. Are people judgmental? Sometimes, yes. Might they put a little more attention towards you? But in the grand scheme of things, when you zoom out, that will be a blip. I don't know. I feel like we would all benefit from caring less about what other people think and leaning into what feels good and right for me. And what sort of life can I live that feels in alignment with who I am as a human and the things that I want to be doing? Because we only do this once. And there is just not enough time to be putting it off for later or for waiting for tomorrow. We don't know what that brings. So make the most of now. We only have today.
Well, and then look at the excitement and the passion that comes out of you when you align to that idea. With my question about, you know, how are you feeling guiding these women into the various destinations? It's honored and grateful. It's not stressed. It's not, oh my goodness, I have so much to do. Oh my gosh, look at my task list. And maybe there will be days where it feels like that, like, holy buckets, now I've really got to like hone in on making sure that I've got this figured out and like doing all the details and some more of the putsy work, right? Like there are always those days. But at the end of the day, if your passion aligns to your values and you have created this business from that, the excitement and energy that goes toward living that life is palpable.
Yeah, it truly is. And from other people too. I think about who are people that I would spend my money with and what are they putting out into the world? And that's the sort of thing, like, I want to be me. I don't want to be anybody else. I don't want to put on a front. If a trip doesn't go well, I want to be honest with people. We have enough people that are fake, enough people on the internet with the perfect lighting and the Botox and the fillers and the dyed hair and the put together. And I am not here to be perfect. It's too much pressure. It's exhausting. I just want to show up and be myself. And I want to encourage other people to do that too. And again, whatever that looks like for everybody, because it's not going to be a one size fits all. But again, the more brave that you are, the more you encourage other people to be brave. It's the same thing. The more you are yourself, the more you do things that you love, the more you encourage other people to do the same things too. And that's really awesome. Mm-hmm. In my book. I just think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's totally awesome. And I mean, how cool to get to go experience new places when you have a love of travel with a bunch of other people. Like that is truly a dream life. Now, are there any trips on your radar that you're like the most excited about? I'm sure that's a really hard thing to answer, but like if you can get to one that you're most like, I think this is going to be epic, what would you say?
Oh, that's this might be my least favorite question because the answer is all of them because they're so different. And honestly, I think too, in the adventure space, people are really leaning into one facet. Like I want to help people hike. I want to help people backpack. I want to help people see all their bucket lists. And I want to do all of it. I want to have trips for people who want to camp. I want to have trips for people who want to reach the summit of a mountain. I want to have trips for people who want to go like do cooking classes in Italy and learn about food and go on wine tours. And I want to go to Bali and I want to do yoga and I want to go bathe elephants in Thailand. I have such an adventure soul that I would be happy to go and sit on a beach in Tulum for 7 days with rad women just as much as I would be to camp in Alaska or climb to Machu Picchu. Right now, I think, and I haven't even launched this trip yet, it's coming in November, but Patagonia is pretty high up there just because it's a region I've never been in before. And it's a lot of hiking. We still get to be in hotels. You get to see glaciers and oh, but then I want to say Alaska and the Galapagos. I don't know.
So the Galapagos kind of hits my radar because my husband and I went to Galapagos for our 15-year wedding anniversary 2 years ago. And I have to say, like, when I saw that on your itinerary, I was like, wow, that's going to blow people's minds. You know, you get in the water to snorkel and there's penguins zipping by you. And you're like, what? Like I'm in the water with a penguin. You know, that only happens on Madagascar. Crazy. It's totally crazy.
I think when you get out in nature, when you explore the world, when you see other cultures and other places, there's so many places to find that magic that I think that's what makes it hard for me to pick one place. It's like, yes, you can snorkel with penguins in the Galapagos and you're seeing parts of history and animals that you can't see anywhere else in the world. Like, I imagine, and I always say birds are dinosaurs, but you're really feeling that almost like prehistoric things that have been here since before we were. But I don't know, there's probably something like when you're camping in the wilds of Alaska and you're connected with nature and you're touching a glacier and when you're going to Costa Rica and you're seeing animals that you might not see anywhere else in the world and you're swimming in natural hot springs and I don't know. Yeah. So for me, there's magic to be found everywhere. Yes. And there's going to be, that's what I want. I want those experiences for people to say, I never would have had that on my own. I wouldn't have known how to plan it, or I wouldn't have had the people to go, or I wouldn't have felt safe or brave or whatever. And now I've had that experience. I've given that to myself and with a group of people that you might be connected to for life. And then maybe you have other adventure buddies. Now you have other people. You go on a trip yourself. You plan it together. So it's hard for me to pick one because I feel like there's just something unique and special and magical about all of them. I think the thing that makes me most excited isn't a trip, though. It's the connection with all the humans and sharing those experiences together.
It is definitely all about the people that you go with that makes a trip unique. You could go back to the same destination with different people, and you'll have an entirely different experience. Now, if I wanted to gift myself one of these experiences, what is the average price range and what are the sleeping situations? You know, are you sharing rooms with other people? Are you paying for private rooms? Obviously, if you're camping, but are you sleeping in your own tent? How does that part work?
So it's going to depend. Costa Rica was a little bit cheaper just because you get the US dollar to the Colón exchange. So I want to say anywhere usually from about 2,000 to 3,500, like Iceland would be about 3,200 to 3,500. And that's just because Iceland just costs more money. And then I have picked trips that are geared towards everybody. So Costa Rica and the Galapagos are hotels. Alaska is camping. I'm going to do hopefully Yellowstone and a trip in Utah. Those will also be camping trips. So the United States, in order to keep the cost a little bit lower, camping trips are a little bit more affordable. But then like Patagonia will also be hotels. You can elect to pay for your own private room if you're not someone who wants to share. I always recommend earplugs and eye masks, irrespective. I don't remember if you can opt for your own private tent, because it's just more gear that has to be packed. It's not just like buying an extra hotel room. But what I do ahead of time is everyone is connected via Telegram. That's just the app that Trova uses. So you have a chance to chat with everybody. I send out a who's who document. So I send a picture, everyone's Instagram, their name, what state they live in. Some people are flying together if they live nearby. And then like what someone's excited about and just like a weird little fact about people. And then I also offer video calls for people to meet ahead of time. You know, some people connect on Instagram and then they email Trova like, hey, I want a room with this person. And on every trip that I have, there is either friends, sisters, or a mother-daughter. So a lot of times people are going with someone else, and so they room with that person. But yeah, average trips are anywhere from 2,000 to 3,500. It is a 25% non-refundable deposit once the trip is confirmed. And that just means that enough people have signed up that will definitely go. But if you have to cancel, and it has happened on every trip, they give you a credit to use towards another one of my trips or any other Trova trip. So there are thousands of other hosts. So if you were more for the trip rather than the host, then you could do a trip with whomever you would want. And they have payment plan options. There's so many different things. And Trova actually hosts scholarship opportunities for people who want to go on a trip and maybe can't afford it. And so you can apply to those. I don't know how often they run them. I know they just did. But that's something else that I love. And they're about sustainable travel. They support the local communities, the local people. So yeah, there's a lot of opportunity to make the trip unique. And if you find that like, hey, we're going ziplining in Costa Rica, that's not for everybody. And I totally respect that. The guides will suggest other things for you to do. So if there's an activity or something that's like not really for you, then there's other opportunities. Or you need a little time or space to kind of be by yourself. There's opportunities for those sorts of things. Now, sometimes you have to do something because it's getting us from point A to point B. But again, we do it together.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to pull up your patience pants and deal with whatever it takes to make the trip functional.
Well, and I say like my 56-year-old mother who's afraid of heights hiked the Inca Trail. Like you can do this. And I don't care if it's as slow as possible, one foot in front of the other. That's all we have to worry about is this moment. We don't have to worry about 30 seconds from now. We don't have to worry about 1 hour from now. All we have to do is focus on right this moment, one foot in front of the other. We will be okay. We are in this together. And I don't imagine any of those experiences, even in Peru, that wasn't the case with anybody. You know, people, you just you get caught up in the moment and you get caught up in the magic with the other people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it is amazing too, as you're experiencing things that may be a little bit more challenging, there is a lot of motivation that just naturally happens in wanting to keep up with the group. It's a little bit of like that self-preservation mentality of like, I don't want to be the slowest one, or I don't want to be the person holding back 25 people. You know, I mean, things happen and sometimes that just occurs, but yes, there's a little bit of like pride and like, okay, I'm doing this alongside of the yes. group.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And like I said, the guides are just so incredible in Peru. I mean, one of the guides literally held my mother's hand for hours because it was slippery. It was wet. My mom has a plate and screws in her leg. And we were on the side of a mountain and she was struggling. And the woman held her hand and walked every step with her. And my mom, like at the end, you're not scared anymore. You're like, heck yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. You know? And then it's motivating to everybody else too. You cheer the loudest for the last person. Yes.
Oh, it just all sounds so amazing and really actually pretty reasonable. I feel like, you know, $2,000 to $3,500 for a lot of people, it's going to require a little bit of saving and like intentional planning and budgeting for that. But for what you're getting, that you're getting all of the lodging and the food and the activities and things of that nature. How long are most of the trips?
Typically 5 to 7 days. And it doesn't include flights. So that's something that you do have to pay for on your own. And I've helped other people with that. If someone's having trouble booking a flight or whatever, like I'll hop on a call. I don't care. I teach people ways to like monitor prices and all of those different things. But yeah, I mean, most of the meals, all of the activities, that's all included. The only things that are not included, flights, spending money, of course, and then tips for the guides. We do ask that, you know, we tip everybody. And then for some of the camping trips, you have to bring your own sleeping bag and pillow. But they provide the tents. They provide, like, we're going to walk on a glacier. They'll provide the spikes for our shoes, those sorts of things. So yeah, that's why, you know, some of the camping trips can be a little bit cheaper because you're doing it a little bit different. But yeah, I think for what you're getting, it's really mm-hmm. awesome.
Absolutely. So I think this will be a good spot to wrap the conversation up, but like, tell me a little bit about some of the itineraries that are coming up. Which ones are already sold out? Which ones do you have wait lists for, or some that are maybe completely wide open?
As of right now, Costa Rica is closed because that's in April. There is still technically a wait list for Alaska in August. The trip is filled, but if someone were to cancel, that would open up a spot. So you could certainly, I have a website, savageadv.com, and you can click on all of the trips and sign up for a wait list and get in touch with me that way. And then the Galapagos right now is also sold out and waitlisted. That's not until February of 2025. So there's still plenty of time that if someone got on the wait list, you would have the opportunity to cancel. The cool thing about the wait list is it's no pressure. So they just notify you, hey, a spot's open, but it doesn't require you to take the spot. And then my goal this year, I think I would like to launch Yellowstone in June, Utah in September, and Patagonia in November. And we launch about a year out. So it gives people time to plan, to budget, to save, to buy anything they might need to buy to get to know each other. And again, if you go to savageadv.com, you can get on the wait list for all of those. And I suggest people sign up for my email. Galapagos launched to my email list first and sold out before it ever went to Instagram.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Awesome. It actually sold out to not even my full email list. It sold out to like my small little wait list in hours.
Wow.
So if Yellowstone or Utah will go in Utah, it's like a road trip. I mean, we're still camping, but we're going to go to Bryce Canyon, Zion, Moab, like all the hot places. Or you want to go to Patagonia, I would suggest getting on the wait list sooner rather than later, because then you'll be the first to know. And the first 8 people get a $100 discount. So it's always cool to be first on the list.
Yeah, very, very fair. And how do people follow you on Instagram? What's your handle?
My Instagram is JESSS.CAHHH.
Okay. And I just feel like even on your Instagram, there's a lot of really, really great content, reminders about getting out of your comfort zone, pursuing your passions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, come hang out with me on Instagram. I love it over there.
Awesome. Well, just as I predicted, I think we only hit about a quarter of what I see on my screen from questions, but I'm definitely going to have you come back on for us to have a conversation post the trip in April and see how everything went and talk through some of the things that you've learned and your hopes for the future after experiencing your first round.
I would love to do that. That would be awesome.
Thanks for wandering with me today. If you were inspired by this episode and think it would ignite a spark in a friend, don't hesitate to share. And if you're craving more from the Wander Mode community, hop on over to Instagram at Wander Mode Co. Meet you in the next episode, and until then, wander on.